The West Live. The West Live with Jenna Clark. Brought to you by Neds. Take it to the Neds level. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
With Bali and Indonesia in our thoughts yesterday, as we remembered 18 years since 202 people were killed in the Bali bombings, we have to take pause to remember that our island destination of Bali has an immediate crisis on its hands. Bali has the fastest growing death rates from COVID-19 in all of Indonesia. The country has seen more than 337,000 COVID cases and more than 11,000 deaths so far. Joining me now to take us through the situation in WA's northern suburb is the president of the Indonesia Institute, Ross Taylor. Ross, thank you so very much for joining me. Firstly, what's the situation in Bali at the moment?
Yes, hello, Jenna, and all my reports from my colleagues in Bali is, unfortunately, it's extremely quiet, and many more hotels are just closing their doors, and I think that with the COVID cases Bali's now experiencing, I think there's a realisation that could be an extended period before any significant volume of international tourists get back there.
It's a scary situation. But let's go back to, 18 years ago. Yesterday, Mark Reddings joined me when he was actually on the ground in 2002 when the bombs went off in Kuta. What have we learnt and achieved as a result of what happened back then?
Yes, I think the significance of the Bali bombing, Jenna, apart from just the absolute devastation to 88 Australians, who died, but of course their families, that's a lot more people than the 88 that lost their lives. And we also need to remember there was 38 Indonesians. And interestingly enough, too, a lot of people forget, the total of 202 was made up of people from 21 nations. Oh. So you can really understand why it had a major effect around the world. Mm. Like Mark, I was the West Australian Government Commissioner to Indonesia at that time. I was there about 10 days after the Bali bombing, and it was an eerie, horrible, horrible feeling to walk down the streets and just see literally no one there. So it has been devastating, but as you've indicated, I think that even the families of the Bali bombers look to say, well, is there anything good that we can extract from that horrifying experience? So it's a good point that you make.
And I guess COVID, can you really compare the devastation of COVID, the economic devastation of COVID, to what happened back in 2002? And how do you think that will the recovery time take a little bit longer? Because I guess the one thing about a global pandemic is the unknown and the unprecedented times that we're living in, right?
Yes, I think that's a good point, Jenna, is that they're quite, in one respect, they're quite related in terms of the devastation that it's been caused to the economy of Bali. But in another respect, they are somewhat, obviously unrelated. I think what, at least with the Bali bombing, and this is, I'm not trying to sound to minimise the horror of that, but at least, when after the Bali bombing, some actual good came of it, because it was a wake-up call for the Indonesian authorities that they had a major terrorism problem on their hands. Mm-hmm. And I think it was also a wake-up call, Jenna, to the Australian authorities that thought, look, this is only 3 hours away from Perth. We need to do a lot more to help our friends in Indonesia with terrorism, because if we don't, there is actually a serious risk this is going to come down to Australia. So what we saw was an enduring and remarkable relationship formed between the Australian Federal Police, their Indonesian counterparts, the Indonesian National Police Force, and also, dare I say, our spying agents, the Signals Directorates. And a combination of all this in that 18 years has really allowed the Indonesian government, with the backing of the Australian government, to really almost eradicate, widespread terrorism groups like that were led by Abu Bakar Bashir. Yeah. And in that process, they've identified extensive terror attacks that were being planned. So if there's anything that you can take good out of the Bali bombing, was that infinitely Bali is now, notwithstanding COVID, a safer place in terms of terrorism for people. But quite frankly, so is Australia.
Yeah, indeed. It was a horrific time, but I guess out of the ashes, we've had seen a formidable relationship forge. Back to COVID, we've spoken many times on the show around the impact that it's going to have on our favourite holiday destination. What are the numbers? In mid-May, we're up around 594 cases, and today, 4 months later, more than 10,000. This is just devastating.
Well, that's the interesting point. I think, as you say, Jenna, in the first really 4 months, February to May, I use the word they struggled to get up to 594 cumulative cases and only four deaths. And really the indication in Bali was that whilst Bali is going to have an economic, a very severe economic downturn, in terms of actual COVID, Bali was managing that very well with only 594 cases and about a 90% recovery rate. So it was very small.
Yeah.
But then, as you've indicated, if you look for the 4 months leading to now, including the decision to reopen the borders to the rest of Indonesia, including Java.
That bloody Java.
As you say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you've seen this 594 in 4 months to the second lot of 4 months move up to 10,228. So it's actually a good example of just how devastating and how quickly COVID-19 can move once infection gets into society. So, and certainly I have to say that has happened since August, when the domestic borders were open, and about 4,500 to 5,000 people per week were coming in from Java. So, and those numbers certainly are trajectorying upwards, and I think that's not looking good for Bali at all at this stage, unfortunately.
Would you be hesitant to put a sort of date on when we Australians may be able to get back to Bali, or is it just too soon to even predict at this point?
Well, in May, I was saying, look, certainly my family and ourselves, we rebooked for May of next year, 2021.
Right. Yeah.
But when I look at these figures now, and quite rightly, I'm not an expert in COVID-19, but looking at those numbers and look at the border controls we have in Western Australia. Quite frankly, I've said to my family, regrettably, I will be delighted and surprised if our family gets back there any time next year.
Wow.
And if I'm proved to be right, and I really hope I'm wrong, the impact on the economy in Bali is going to be immeasurable.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Indonesia Institute President Ross Taylor, thank you so very much for joining me on The West Live. Look forward to catching up with you again soon when we see, I guess, some new stats and some updated travel advice from WA and Australia. You take care. We'll chat to you again soon.
Yep. Always a pleasure, Jenna.